The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
When you look at what happened during that election, unless you're a very stupid person, you see what happens. A lot of the people in this audience, we're going to just win. We're at a point now. We're getting so close. Let's just win it again and straighten out our country.
One other question on this.
Not stupid at all, but you perhaps are given an agenda or you have an agenda. Look,
I was just saying there's no evidence of that election fraud. You did once tweet.
You're supposed to say that, but you know, I'm glad you say that. But look, that was
a
horrible election. That was a horrible election, and we have to have honest elections in our country. We have open borders. I said, we'll give you soldiers, we'll give you a National Guard, we'll give you whatever you want. And they turned me down. She turned me down. I didn't have a script. I don't need scripts like a certain person that's in
there
right now.
What time, the video? It came out much later after they had already attacked the Capitol. But that video that you referenced there, it wasn't posted until 4:17 p.m.
No, I'll tell
they
you.
They breached the Capitol at 2 p.m.
That video was posted.
4:17
yeah,
p.m.
Yeah, before, actually a little bit before that.
Chris Miller was your acting defense secretary. He says you never gave that order. But back to what happened on that day. He has testified that, Mr. President.
He did not say that.
But you said you weren't very... Why did it take you 3 hours to tell them to go home?
I don't believe it did. Oh, let me pull it out. I have to pull it out. And this was in the form of Twitter. Now I use Truth. Truth Social. I think it's far superior, okay? I hope everybody's like... They took it down. I don't know why. I think they took it down because it was so good. They didn't like it being up there.
Mr. President, I looked at the same timeline that you did.
Didn't report that. You know why? Because it was
taken
down.
We did report it. I was reporting that
thing. It was taken down and it wasn't.
But when it was clear to you that they wasn't, do you feel that you owe him an apology?
No, because he did something wrong. He should have put the votes back to the state legislatures, and I think we would have had a different outcome. I really do.
But he doesn't have the authority. The vice president does not have the authority to reject those
election
results.
Let's have this one out just now, because it's interesting. Let's keep it interesting, right? I like Mike Pence very much. He's a very fine man. He's a very nice man. Did they change the law then, saying that you can't do it?
They didn't change the law. They strengthened the law because they were worried about presidents exploiting.
Oh, they strengthened it, meaning you could do it.
That's not what it means.
Thank you.
They strengthen.
In Washington, D.C., you cannot get a fair trial. You cannot. Just like in New York City, you can't get a fair trial either. This is a fake story, and you don't want to give it credibility.
One thing you did do in this.
I have no idea who the hell. She's a
Mr.
whack
President,
job.
You did not testify. You think the U.S. should default if the White House does not agree to the spending cuts Republicans
are
demanding.
You might as well do it now because you'll do it later. Because we have to save this country. Our country is...
Well, you said that when you were in the Oval Office.
That's when I was president.
So why is it different now that you're out of office?
Because now I'm not president. We have a very big mental health problem in this country. And again, it's not the gun that pulls the trigger. It's the person that pulls the trigger. And we have to protect our Second Amendment. We have to protect ourselves. And then we had a rigged election. I'm sorry to say it.
The election was not rigged, Mr. President. You can't keep saying that all night long.
And so then I was totally exonerated, by the way, just a waste of time and money.
You were impeached over that. You were
impeached by a crazy woman named Nancy
Pelosi.
But
the question here is, would you give Ukraine?
I took the documents. I'm allowed to. You know who else took them? Obama took them. Nixon took them.
Obama
Reagan took them.
Documents.
Oh, he didn't?
The difference here is that I'd like to know.
But you know who took them more than anybody is Joe Biden. He has 1,800 boxes, and nobody even knows where they are. 1,800, and nobody talks about him.
I would like for you to answer the question.
Okay, it's very simple to answer.
That's why I asked it.
It's very simple to you. You're a nasty person, I'll tell you. Why is it that Biden had 9 boxes in Chinatown, and he gets a lot of money from China? Why is that? And
there
why,
is no
why
evidence
aren't
of that,
people,
Mr. President? No, you,
no, no,
can, you cannot
why aren't
say that.
People
there is
bringing
no evidence
that
of that, Mr.
And
why, President. The one that's
she doesn't
happening
understand
in
it.
Georgia, where they are investigating there your efforts to overturn.
And when we can't make a call to question election results, then this country ought to just forget about it.
You weren't just questioning the election results.
I was questioning the election.
You were asking him to find you votes.
These people are sick. Anybody that wants this to happen to our country, they're destroying our country, and this should not be allowed to happen.
After a decade-long struggle, a life-and-death struggle, CNN finally did succumb to her terminal illness last night. She was 43 years of age. And, of course, this man here, Donald John Trump, laid her to rest. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots to get to, as you might imagine. In any event, you can get to our live stream through the website, trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com. You can watch the program live every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. You can also go over to our Rumble channel. It's the audience there is growing as well. Just search for The Trumpet Daily over at Rumble. Before I start, I've got to point out the hardcover version of America Under Attack, as if it could get any better. It just got better. There's even more content. And of course, it's a beautiful hardcover binding this time around. So the town hall at CNN last night came, just for me personally, allow me to get a little bit personal here on the program today. For me, it came at a perfect time. Yesterday morning, I was just trying to, you had the fake rape case, you have the House Oversight Committee revealing all of these details about the Biden crime family. I mean, just trying to wrap my mind around the extent and just the pervasiveness of the evil. I think my brain was about to explode just before we went on the air yesterday morning. And so that's why you need the simple things in life. You need, as soon as the program's over, it's wonderful to go home, to spend the lunch hour with my wife, to then in the evening to spend a little time with the dog. Of course, there's all kinds of relaxing, enjoyable activities that go on here on campus as well. It's obviously a very busy environment as well. But the simple things in life, like your family, your pets, and a CNN town hall with Donald John Trump. What a, I've never watched, let's say, maybe that's not true. I haven't watched 90 consecutive minutes of CNN since probably the first Iraq war in 1991. So there I was last night watching it all the way through. It was supposed to, when it got to 8 o'clock our time and it came back from a commercial, I thought, oh, this is great. It's an hour and a half. And so then it just went till 10 minutes longer, 8:10. And then we now know CNN cut it off abruptly because it was such a dumpster fire for the network. She had all of her notes. It's amazing to me that these talking heads that are so arrogant, they have so much vanity that she was convinced. This is a 31-year-old woman. I know they're grooming her to take over a primetime slot, but she's probably not even that far removed from journalism school. And she's convinced going in that she's going to take down the bad orange man, that the entirety of the country is going to be right on her side, that when she exposes the lies of Donald Trump in front of these voters that aren't committed yet, surely they'll see the wisdom in her arguments. Surely they'll see a broken, embarrassed man in Donald Trump. Instead, what happens? Donald Trump shows up at CNN. The ratings, we don't see anything about that yet, but we'll find out soon enough that it was probably CNN's strongest night in months, if not years. But Donald Trump walks in, coming in, you had Wolf Blitzer and Jonah Goldberg saying, you know, well, most people really are wanting a more moderate Donald Trump. They're speaking on behalf of all the Republicans. And he comes in and, well, who was the hysterical one? Who was the combative one? This is supposed to be a town hall, and she took, what, 7 or 8 questions in 70 minutes? Because the entire time she was debating Donald Trump. It was a 70-minute debate with Caitlin Collins. They sold it as a town hall, but it was a debate that went on for more than an hour, and by the end, you had the crowd giving Donald Trump a standing ovation. I mean, the timing of this, I mean, it's not just sitting it and watching it, sitting before the TV, watching it, enjoying it. But the timing, too. You can't help but to take some satisfaction away from that. On Tuesday, the somber tones. He's convicted. Sexual abuse. Defamation for saying that he wasn't raped or she wasn't raped. And the jury, of course, decides that, well, that's true. She wasn't raped. She's lying about it all. So that was Tuesday. And then, as I covered on the program yesterday, Wednesday morning, Trump's finished. That's Wednesday morning, just a few hours before the town hall. Then he shows up at the town hall, and, well, if you saw it or if you've seen clips of it, you see what happened. This was a catastrophe for the network, CNN. I mean, what was left of the CNN brand, as I said, it died last night. After 43 years, and who can forget some of that coverage in the 1990s? It was the first time we had actually seen warfare play out live on TV. But look at what CNN has become. It's become a propaganda arm for the regime. They're as I say, she should have learned from Jim Acosta. Look at how many times Trump had to smack him down. But here she comes. She's convinced it's going to be great for her. They had to cut it short by 20 minutes. Because it was so embarrassing. Sundance's take. A background is really worth considering. For a full year in 2016, CNN attacked Donald Trump relentlessly, calling him every name in the book and comparing him to the rise of Hitler. Trump won. CNN then spent the next 4 years of the Trump presidency shouting at him, yelling at him, calling him names and decrying him as evil. Evil incarnate, attempting to destroy him, including the promotion of the totally fraudulent Trump-Russia conspiracy theory, which they have never apologized for pushing. They've never apologized for that. They just go right on attacking, and each time they're convinced they're going to take him out, finally. And in every case, Trump wins, except for the election of 2020, which was like a centerpiece of the conversation last night. It's like CNN basically helped to remind America that, yes, indeed, Trump won in 2020. That's the first thing she asked. And then for them to come back later and say, why won't Trump stop talking about the election steal? It's the first question she asked. Now, Donald Trump, won't you admit that you lost in 2022? Why are they so insecure about it? I mean, if Joe Biden got 81 million votes, If they really believe that, he'd still be on world tour bragging about the fact that he's the most popular president in history. As it is, he tries to answer a few questions from reporters last night just to get a little bit of the attention on himself, but he couldn't. He couldn't. Everything they're doing is backfiring. And for Joe Scarborough today to say that the town hall somehow helps Biden, because the town hall was such a disaster for Trump, says Scarborough. This really helps the Biden team. Okay, dream on. Sundance says, enter 2023. Hilariously, CNN never learned anything from the previous 7 years. Asked Donald Trump to come back and sends Caitlin Collins onto the stage with instructions to be rude, combative, argumentative, snide, and nasty. What happens? Trump fearlessly destroys the effort, and the audience is well entertained. He's exactly right. He just goes in there fearlessly. No notes. The only notes he brought out was the timeline from January 6th to show her that I didn't wait 3 hours. I told everybody to be peaceful on January 4th, said the same thing on the 5th, said the same thing in the speech at the Ellipse, said the same thing in a tweet that they took down. And then I sent the video out later that day, all the way through. Now, and of course, she wants to change the subject right away because the narrative is they worship Trump so much that if Trump would have just said, don't do it, don't go to the Capitol, don't go with this riotous mob. Okay, we'll just play along with their narrative, that he could have called off the dogs easily. And he was there to bring the receipts. Well, look at what I said. 2 days before, day before, day of the speech. I'd never spoken in front of that big of a crowd. And oh, by the way, Caitlin, you know, they were there because they thought the election was stolen. That was sort of the storyline behind the speech before they went up to the Capitol. You talk about shooting yourself in the foot. You gave Donald Trump basically another opportunity to say, here's how they stole it. Here's how the deep state worked. Here's what they did with social media. Here's what those 51 intel agents said or did or lied about. It says CNN cried mercy and cut the town hall short by 20 minutes. It was scheduled for 90. They conceded defeat at 70 minutes. Excuse me. As I said, I needed. This was the funniest program last night that I've seen in months, maybe years. You think about all the comedians, the late night talk show hosts. They're basically silenced right now because all of their writers, Stephen Colbert has 17, and he can't get up and say anything without his 17 jokesters giving him a script. Donald Trump shows up in New Hampshire, no script, nothing. Just a little timeline in his pocket, that's it. He can answer, and here's something else. How well does he know and understand the issues? Whatever it is, as he rightly pointed out, he's not reading off of a teleprompter like some presidents. He's not being coached like some presidents. He's not given the questions in advance. For sure, they don't do that with Trump. They do it with Biden. Now, that's altogether different. And then he goes in there, and it's just like rapid fire. Whatever you want to talk about, I'll bring it up. Well, if Pence didn't have the power, then why did Congress scurry and change that rule or enact that law that basically said the vice president couldn't send it back to the states? Why would they change it if he didn't have the power to do that in the first place? Well, I mean, they didn't. It wasn't a change. It was. They strengthened it. She looked like a fool, and Trump knew that issue. He knew the January 6th timeline. He knew the details about the election steal. And to his credit, he also was in 70 minutes. He also was able to reveal or to shine light on the disaster that the Joe Obama administration has been. You notice she didn't really get into any of that. I mean, the country's going up in flames. There's an invasion starting tonight at the southern border, worse than the one of the last 2.5 years. She didn't bring up any of those things. But Donald Trump, to his credit, brought it up. 70 minutes. The fight was scheduled for 90. CNN had to throw in the towel after 70 minutes. Like Roberto Duran with Sugar Ray Leonard. No mas! No mas! We can't take any more! We've got it. Somebody was in her ear. Hey, cut it, cut it. We need to get out of here as quick as we can. And then to add to the entertainment of the evening, then it switches over to the panel of seven at CNN. And Jake Tapper, I mean, white as a ghost. Somebody needs to check his pulse this morning. Here is a man that was absolutely stunned at how overwhelming the victory was for Donald Trump. Now, he didn't say that. He went on about the lies. He was a lying machine. I'll play the clip for you in a bit. And then the panel. Later on, there was only Byron Daniels. He was on the panel as well. I'll play a clip from him later on as well. Some of these will overlap with the opening montage, but just to give you more context with some of these statements, here's clip 15 from Donald Trump.
The vice president does not have the authority to reject those election results.
Let's have this one out just now, because it's interesting. Let's keep it interesting, right? I like Mike Pence very much. He's a very fine man. He's a very nice man. He made a mistake. His lawyer said, you cannot move. I called him the human conveyor belt. I said, even if the votes, you mean, I talked to his lawyer, even if the votes are absolutely fraudulent, he can't. Yes, sir, he can't. And the Democrats played it and the rhinos played it. And then the election was over. They told him he couldn't do it. And Mike said to me, I can't do it. The lawyers told me he can't do it. They can't do it. But the lawyers were wrong, because right after the election, they all met, the rhinos and the Democrats, and they worked out a plan to make sure that future vice presidents don't do what I said you could do.
That's not what happened. You're referring to the Electoral Count Act. I've read that. There is no authority.
No,
legal experts,
me.
Including Republican legal experts, say that he does not have that authority, Mr.
Caitlin,
President. But I want
why
to move
did
on.
They change the law then, saying that you can't do it?
They didn't change the law. They strengthened the law because they were worried about
presidents
exploiting.
Oh, they strengthened
exploiting.
It, meaning you could do it.
That's not what it means.
Thank you.
We've titled today's show, CNN Reminds America That Trump Won the 2020 Election. Why'd they change the law? That they didn't change it. They strengthened it. And then the audience erupts in laughter. Play Charlie Kirk. Let me just give you his tweet from this morning. Yes, 2020 was rigged. There was a point when Caitlin said there was not one fraudulent vote in Wisconsin. Not one. I think if my memory serves me correct, Wisconsin was where they were running around from nursing home to nursing home. And you had family members, I may be getting the state wrong. You had family members saying, yeah, our grandma is in a coma and somehow she voted for Biden. So here's Caitlin Collins saying that there was not any voter fraud in Wisconsin. She knows. And then over and again, you know the familiar refrain, there's no evidence. No evidence. The New York Times this morning said there's no evidence that the Bidens committed any crimes. No evidence. That's their take on all of these stunning revelations coming out from the House committee. It's the same verbiage every time. If it's Trump, there's crimes. Even if the woman is crazy, even if the whole scenario is preposterous, even if it's something that aligns perfectly with an episode of Law and Order, they believe. But with the Biden crime family, yeah, no evidence. Cheating in 2020, no evidence. Charlie Kirk says, yes, 2020 was rigged. In fact, Democrats admitted it. $400 million for drop boxes from Zuckerberg. 50 Intel officials fraudulently signed the letter about Hunter Biden's laptop. FBI met with Twitter to censor dissident voices. And New York Post signature verification standards, or a New York Post, and then signature verification standards relaxed, universal mail-in ballots. Yes, it was rigged. There's evidence all over the place. But the 31-year-old journalist is sure, she is certain, no foul play happened in 2020 because Joe Obama won. So you aren't to question it. Play clip 16.
Well, I was just saying there's no evidence of that election fraud. You did once tweet.
You're supposed to say that, but, you know, I'm glad you say that. But look,
it's
that was
truth,
a horrible
Mr.
election. That was a horrible election. And unless somebody's very stupid, and I know you very well, you're not stupid at all, but you perhaps are given an agenda or you have an agenda. Look.
You can see why they threw in the towel after 70 minutes. You have an agenda. And he says it again. The whole tone all through the evening. He was likable, he was personable, he knew the issues, he was funny, he had leadership. That's what he projects, quite unlike the fake president in the White House at the moment. He projects leadership and confidence, and he says, I want to turn this around for the country. They can't blot him out. That's really why they're throwing in the towel, and that's why they have the meltdown the next day. I'll play you that if I have time a little bit later as well. So the election steal, and then of course you knew, that's why he came with the timeline, because you know they're going to get into January 6th. So she brings that up. Here's a bit on that subject, clip 2.
Your first term ended with a deadly riot at the Capitol, and over 140 officers were injured that day.
And a person named Ashley Babbitt was killed.
Yes.
You know what? She was killed, and she shouldn't have been killed. And that thug that killed her, there was no reason to shoot her.
They didn't like that at MSNBC, because the officer was black. So if you call a black officer a thug, I guess somehow that's racist today. Jake Tapper didn't like it. He said something about Chinatown and Chinese nationals. That evidently was racist. We'll come back to race here in just a bit. But she brings up the deadly riot And then he points out, yeah, let's talk about who was killed in that riot, who was gunned down when she didn't have to be. And that pretty much changed the conversation right there. It shut her up. Just a little bit of truth-telling, just exposing the truth. She goes on and on about the officers that were injured. And all that she can say, and it's not even that audible, is yes, okay. Okay, you're right, Ashley Babbitt was gunned down. And whatever happened to him, the officer, I mean, Trump went on to say that he went on 60 Minutes and he bragged about it. And she's like, oh, he didn't brag about it. Well, he's on national TV saying that by killing her, I saved lives. Yeah, I'm a hero. No investigation. No indictment. Nothing. Shooting an unarmed woman, a veteran, no less. You think that would fly in the streets of America with some of these blue district DAs? They'd be looking to put the shooter behind bars for decades if they could. But not in this case. In this case, he was fully justified. He's to be praised. The only thing to come out of that exchange last night is that, well, Trump is racist. He talked about the National Guard. She said, hey, Chris Miller said in his book that you didn't send in the National Guard. Trump correctly points out, I did. I made requests days before. I told Nancy Pelosi. I told the mayor of Washington. They didn't want it. They said it would look bad. So here's Byron Donalds last night. This is on the CNN panel where he's testifying or basically pointing to testimony under oath of what actually transpired there with the National Guard. Clip 8.
What was said in this town hall about National Guard troops that were authorized by Caitlin was wrong. I'm on the oversight committee. I was in two hearings on January 6th. It was testified in oversight that Donald Trump authorized National Guard troops on January 4th. He followed up in a call with then acting Secretary of Defense on January 5th, trying to see where the deployment was on those troops. That is testimony in the oversight committee. Everybody testified in oversight committee when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House, except one organization, and that was the Capitol Police.
Did you read the Secretary
Nancy Pelosi would
book?
Not allow that. I'm telling you what was testified right. to in the oversight committee right. under oath.
Well, let me just.
Yeah, Anderson there is saying, have you read the tell-all book? Yeah, E. Jean Carroll wrote a tell-all book as well, filled with lies. Byron Donald says, I can tell you what was said under oath, under penalty of perjury, if you lie. And it was that Trump wanted the National Guard there for protection because he believed that that protest would be infiltrated by Antifa. Now we know it was infiltrated by the FBI. Trump wanted the National Guard there. And Byron Donalds knows it. He has the receipts. All they can point to are these Get Trump books, these Get Trump tell-alls. So pathetic. On the Ukraine war. Listen again, listen to the badgering. She's not there to just give him a platform in a town hall atmosphere where voters can decide. She's there to badger. She's there to interrupt. She's there to criticize. She's there to condemn. This was on the subject of the Ukraine war. And would you continue giving funding and support for Ukraine? Clip 5.
Would you continue to give Ukraine money and weapons if you're elected? What's the answer?
I have a very good relationship with President Zelensky because, as you know, he backed me up with the phony impeachment hoax number one when he said the president didn't do anything wrong.
So that was when you asked him for an investigation.
Yeah, that's right. And I was totally exonerated, by the way. Just a waste of time and money.
You were impeached over that. But let's stay on topic here, Mr. President, because the question is, would you give Ukraine weapons and funding?
I was impeached by a crazy woman named Nancy Pelosi.
But the question here is...
You were impeached over that, she points out. But let's stay on topic. I don't want to give you another opportunity to respond. And he responds with the zinger at the House leader at the time, Nancy Pelosi. This was a Get Trump operation from the beginning. It was over a phone call. And here you've got Joe Biden's niece and nephew and grandchild receiving wired payments from the CCP? That was revealed just yesterday. You were impeached over that, Mr. Trump. 31-year-old. She thinks she comes in thinking she can take him down. Didn't exactly work out the way that she hoped. The producers in her ear at 8:10, my time, 8:10, 20 minutes early. You better cut this off. This isn't going so well. Listen to what he said about solving, you've heard him say this before, solving the war between Russia and Ukraine, or brokering a peace deal within 24 hours. This is clip six.
Absolutely. Do you want Ukraine to win this war?
I don't think in terms of winning and losing. I think in terms of getting it settled so we stop killing all these people and breaking down this country. Now,
you said you don't think in terms of winning and losing.
You have to get Europe.
Mr. President, can I just follow up on that? Because that's a really important statement.
Excuse me, let me just follow up.
Can you say if you want Ukraine or Russia to win this war?
I want everybody to stop dying. They're dying. Russians and Ukrainians. I want them to stop dying. And I'll have that done. I'll have that done in 24 hours. I'll have it done.
If you change the sound of the voice for both of them, you know, cover the screen, which one would sound more reasonable? Which one would sound like a seeker of peace? I mean, leave aside the prophetic implications of what's happening in Ukraine. But she badgered him on the war criminal. You've got to declare Putin a war criminal. And he wouldn't go that far because he says, look, I want to strengthen the possibility of a negotiation ending this war so people stop dying. And he's the one that's unhinged. He's the one that Jonah Goldberg wants to be more moderate and calm. She's unhinged. You have got to get behind Ukraine and Ukraine only, and you've got to declare Putin, who has nukes, a war criminal, and you've got to keep funding Zelensky, no matter how much of that funding doesn't go to the war effort, but works its way into the pockets of the oligarchs. And oh, by the way, you know, the Biden crime family has benefited from support for Ukraine in the past as well. He comes in and he's kind of in the middle of the road. He wants to see the carnage come to an end. Pretty amazing, really. Like I say, any given issue, you can agree or disagree with his policies, but on any given issue, I mean, he has a position. He doesn't have any notes that he's going off of. He's not reading the prompter, but he has a definite position. It's so refreshing to just see someone who speaks with authority. And truthfully, I know he's a proud man. I know he struggles with vanity and arrogance just like anyone does. But there's more humility coming from that man last night than there was from the woman, the 31-year-old woman. What does that tell you? Those people that speak for those networks, those big news networks, it's will worship for sure. They really see themselves in a godlike position. If I say it, if we said the Russia collusion was there, you're to believe it. And if it's proven wrong, spectacularly, then we're not going to apologize. We're just going to move on and tell you about E. Jean Carroll and the department store and the incident that might have happened in 1995 or 1996, where, you know, last night, How rich of these people to be talking about, oh, he's really making fun of rape. He's really belittling rape. You know who's belittling rape? You know who's making light of rape? It's E. Jean Carroll. She's the one that talks about it like it's sexy. She talked about how charming it was to have this fight with Donald Trump in the 90s. Do you remember how Trump was in the 90s, how suave he was? Donald Trump is exposing her as a fraud. That's what he's doing. Listen to this with respect to that E. Jean Carroll fake rape case. Clip three.
Manhattan jury found that you sexually abused the writer E. Jean Carroll and defamed her. You've denied this. But what do you say to voters who say it disqualifies you from being president?
Well, there aren't too many of them because my poll numbers just came out. They went up. Okay. I think my poll numbers went up, and they went up with the other fake charge, too, because what's happening is they're doing this for election interference. This woman, I don't know her. I never met her. I have no idea who she is. I had a picture taken years ago with her and her husband, nice guy, John Johnson. He was a newscaster, very nice man. She called him an ape. Happens to be African-American. Called him an ape. The judge wouldn't allow us to put that in. All of these things. But with her, they can put in anything. Access
this
Hollywood.
This is a jury of nine people who...
This is a jury of nine people. They found you guilty. And, of course, Tapper's head explodes because, well, this is not just Donald Trump making light of rape, but the crowd as well. The crowd's making light of it. And Trump, this had to have made her head nearly explode as he's revealing what his lawyers could not bring out in this lawsuit with this judge that basically coached the jury into the verdict. And the judge disallowed or would not allow the lawyers to point out how the crazy woman had called her black husband an ape and called whatever it is that she has about sex, called her pet by a certain name. It's just disgusting stuff. But all that the judge wanted in was the 1979 episode, you know, a witness who says there was an incident that happened, I guess, 44 years ago. And then, of course, the 2005 Access Hollywood tape. In between that, 2005, 1979, was the episode with E. Jean Carroll at the big popular department store in downtown Manhattan, where Donald Trump, a celebrity of celebrities, waltzes into the department store. There's not a witness. Nobody heard anything. He goes into the lingerie section with this lady, and I guess that's where it happened. He's exposing the lies of all of these people. I played enough of it for you yesterday, so I guess I don't need to repeat myself. But skip ahead to, this was after they cut it off at 70 minutes. This is Jake Tapper's immediate reaction with the panel of guests that he has lined up. Clip 7.
Mr. Trump's first lie was told just seconds into the night with his false familiar claim that the 2020 election was, quote, a rigged election. And the falsehoods kept coming fast and furious about the January 6th insurrection, about the threat to Vice President Pence, about Pence's ability to overturn the election, about COVID, about the economy, and more. He called a black law enforcement officer a thug. He said people here in Washington, D.C., at Chinatown, don't speak English. He attacked Caitlin as a nasty woman because she was trying to get him to answer a question. Perhaps most chillingly, the day after a nine-person jury of his peers in New York found him liable for sexual battery and defamation and ordered him to pay writer E. Jean Carroll $5 million, he made fun of her account of her sexual assault. And many in the audience laughed. Let me start with you, Dana. We don't have enough time to fact check every lie he told, but he started off with the election one, and boy, he really just never let that bone go.
Well, you can unpack that for an hour and a half. But just the one thing that stood out to me, here he's basically saying Trump's a racist because he referred to Chinese people that don't speak English, and he referred to a black officer as a thug. And yet in the same debate, in the same town hall, it's revealed that E. Jean Carroll called her black husband an ape. And that doesn't register with Jake, anybody on the panel, certainly not with Caitlin Collins. Just leave that aside. Change the subject. We're moving on. They're so concerned about race when it's a Republican, when it's one of their own. Well, I mean, she's a good white lady, progressive liberal. Just let her say whatever she wants, no matter how derogatory it is. Here he is describing just how preposterous the scene is, this rape scene that the woman doesn't know whether it happened in 95 or 96. And you see, I mean, it is laughable. And there is chuckling. But is he, who, again, step back, look at the bigger picture. Who is the one? Who are the people that are making light of rape, which is a heinous crime? It's a crime of the highest order. But there's also such a thing as lying. There's also such a thing as framing someone for a crime he didn't do. And we see that all the time, don't we, in this communist takeover of the United States. Here's clip 4.
No, I don't think so, because I think the whole thing, just so you understand, ready? I never met this woman. I never saw this woman. This woman said, I met her at the front door of Bergdorf Goodman, which I rarely go into other than for a couple of charities. I met her in the front door. She was about 60 years old then. This is like 22, 23 years ago. I met her in the front door of Bergdorf Goodman. I was immediately attracted to her, and she was immediately attracted to me. And we had this great chemistry. We're walking into a crowded department store. We had this great chemistry. And a few minutes later, we end up in a room, a dressing room, at Bergdorf Goodman, right near the cash register. And then she found out there are locks on the door. So she said, I found one that was open. She found one. She learned this at trial. She found one that was open. What kind of a woman meets somebody and brings them up, and within minutes, you're playing hanky-panky in a dressing room, okay? I don't know if she was married then or not. John Johnson, I feel sorry for you, John Johnson.
So there he is, giving you a little bit of a rundown of the rape case, which a jury decided that she was lying. So Trump is not alone in saying this scene that she described happening in 95 or 96. It was a lie. She was lying all the way through. Well, if she wasn't lying, if you're going to really put your faith in those nine jury members, like Caitlin was quick to point out, why didn't they convict him of rape? They convicted him of sexual battery and defamation, $5 million fine. And as I noted on yesterday's show, they couldn't have pulled this off unless it's in Manhattan and unless you got a heavy hitter like Reid Hoffman, I think his name is, the Jeffrey Epstein friend. And then, of course, Governor Hochul, she had to intervene. Listen to this little revelation from CNN yesterday. Here's the supposed rape victim. She's there with her lawyer. I told you about this one-year window that Governor Hochul created so that E. Jean Carroll could even file this suit. If I got the clip, it's clip 10.
Can I end on something that I think is really important in all of this? And it's the fact that New York passed this law.
Yeah.
The Adult Survivors Act. They passed it just a few years ago. Were it not for that law, you never would have been able to bring this case. And I just think it speaks to the importance for a lot of other survivors.
Exactly. I would never have this window, this year, of having the ability to bring a lawsuit for rape. Robbie can explain it better.
Well, E. Jean actually helped to get that law passed. It passed last year. We filed, it was Thanksgiving Day, it was the first day you could sue. We filed just after midnight on Thanksgiving. And
E. Jean actually helped get that law passed. And then when it did, when the law was finally enacted, at midnight, the day of the law, the day it became law, at midnight, they had the lawsuit there ready to go. This woman, the crazy woman that wrote the tell-all book filled with lies in 2019, joked about rape and talked about how fun it was with Donald Trump. Of course, I'm not ever going to file a lawsuit. And I don't even really see it as rape. It was more of a fight, a struggle, I guess. That was 2019. Then you get the billionaire Democrat behind her. She lies in the course of the trial, says that she's funding the operation herself. The billionaire donor, the billionaire Democrat donor, he gets behind the Get Trump operation. And then they work together with Hochul. I mean, the lawyer's just right there admitting it openly. Yeah, she actually helped to get this one-year window law passed. And then they're ready there with the Get Trump lawsuit. Isn't it perfect? Everything just worked out perfectly. And like I said yesterday, the fact that it would get overturned on appeal, it doesn't matter. Just get the Manhattan jury to convict him of something, anything. And then we, the press, Caitlin Collins and Jake Tapper and Joe Scarborough, they can beat Trump over the head. You're a sexual predator. Yeah, you were convicted in a court of law. Nine jury members decided unanimously. Good time. Good time for the hardback version of America Under Attack, as I was saying earlier in the show. you try, like I did yesterday, you try to wrap your mind around just the extent and the pervasiveness of the evil, of the sickness, as Isaiah 1 says. And it's taxing. It's mentally taxing at times. It really is as bad as Isaiah 1 describes. It really is as bad as Lamentations 1 describes. It's as bad as Ezekiel 8 describes. The filth, the sickness, the evil. And of course, they want to blot out Donald Trump because in the national sense, he's exposing a lot of it. He's exposing a lot of the filth. He's exposing so many of the lies. So they get to the last half hour of the 90-minute fight with Donald Trump, and they throw in the towel 20 minutes early. And then, of course, you get the media, the regime media meltdown that happens right after, and it carried over into this morning. Here's clip 18.
You could go piece by piece by piece to talk about how breathtakingly dangerous what we saw was last night, this virus of lies that's been loosened on the American people. And an audience, an American audience, lapping it up. This isn't Putin's Russia. This is Trump's slice of America. And what I saw last night, at least, was as chilling as anything I've seen on television since January the 6th.
Well, I think CNN is probably looking back at their decision and their strategy for the town hall and wishing they had had Daniel Dale, their fact checker, fact checking him in real time, both on screen at home for the viewers on TV and then also on that stage. Going forward, how the media should handle him is to make sure that everyone, that it is always noted that he tried to destroy the constitutional order.
The idea that CNN sort of stacked, as you said, the audience here falls into the category of what were they thinking? I mean, that's not a representation of the public.
We're in a break now from the presidential town hall with CNN, Caitlin Collins, and whatever they thought they were going to get out of this, they instead have set a match to democracy once again. You are letting an insane person stand there and make people giggle and laugh.
The CNN town hall tonight was a disaster for anyone not named Donald John Trump. It was a disaster for CNN. It was a disaster for American journalism more broadly. And it was a disaster for anyone who cares about the future of our democracy and, you know, truth.
There is so much he says and does that is dangerous. We sometimes miss it. The more people get to see Donald Trump, the more they have hard questions and his support begins to erode. This is a hard moment. I fear the danger, the mobilization of dangerous elements in our society when Donald Trump has a platform. But I'd rather see that now than hide from it and wake up to it when he becomes president in 2025.
Donald Trump last night in his CNN town hall calling January 6th a beautiful day. The event, of course, last night full of lies, misleading statements.
No surprises, and yet It was a disgraceful performance.
Yes.
I'm constantly telling people not to catastrophize over Trump, that he's actually going to lose. but it is I can't believe I'm going to use catastrophizing language here. But it was disgraceful on every level. It showed, I wouldn't say it's dangerous for democracy because we passed that a long time ago. And I've got to say, the most shocking part was an audience who cheered on a president who tried to overturn American democracy.
Catastrophize. He pulls that out of the hat twice in that little diatribe. Who's unhinged here? Which one is just over the top? Is it the bad orange man? Or is it these people? That one Rick Wilson bit, just laced with profanity all the way through. And he does it during a commercial while he's watching the town hall. Same with the Melby guy, I forget his name. They're glued to the TV, but then the commercial comes and they just blow up. AOC tweets out last night, CNN should be ashamed of themselves. They have lost total control of this town hall to, again, be manipulated into platforming election disinformation, defenses of January 6th, and a public attack on a sexual abuse victim. It says the audience is cheering him on and laughing at the host. Well, she got some of that right. Some of that right. You can see why censorship is so important to these people. You know, I mentioned briefly yesterday, Tucker Carlson, he comes out with the announcement a couple days ago that he's going to start broadcasting on Twitter. He posted it May 9th. What's today, the 11th? So this is 2 days old now. The tweet has had 121 million views, and the video has had 25.4 million views. This is Tucker Carlson. And you see all these headlines. As soon as he makes the Twitter announcement, I mean, the regime media, they're not even saying conservative or right wing. I mean, it's extreme right. They view Tucker the same way they view Trump. And so here are all the talking. They couldn't be more wrong. They couldn't be more out of touch with ordinary Americans that see through the lies. They wanted to say that Trump won't stop talking about the election steal. Notice this exchange. This is a focus group, Trump supporters, and they're having an exchange after the town hall with a CNN reporter, clip 9.
Does it bother you that he keeps talking about 2020 and not 2024? I'll ask you first. This is Jonathan Leslie. He's 40, Republican, voted for Trump twice. How do you feel about those lies?
So I feel like part of it's also the media narrative, as you guys asked him the first question at the town hall about the 2020 election, rather than current stuff.
So don't you think he could say it's time for me to start talking about 2024, not lies that aren't true?
Couldn't the media ask him a question about 2024?
Well, there were questions, but you're right, that was the first thing, but that's something that was on our mind, and that's why I was asked first. Mike?
Well, couldn't the media ask him about 2020? She's the host, right? She's the moderator or the debater, whatever you want to call it. It was a debate, really. But here they come in. They give him a platform, supposedly about 2024. And what does Caitlin Collins ask about? Election steal, rape case, oh, January 6th. Yeah, we've got to talk about all those things in the past. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Had she taken it that way or that route, Donald Trump, as I say, would have had plenty to talk about, plenty to say on those subjects. And here the focus group guy, he's asking the focus group, why does Donald Trump keep going back to the election steal? Well, because you keep bringing it up. You're so insecure. You can't let it go. You won't move forward. That's who's living in the past. I mean, good for Trump to stick to his guns when that subject does come up. But this is someone who's also very much thinking ahead to 2024. Tucker Carlson, as I say, he's about to move over to Twitter. Look at Brian Stelter's reaction to this news the other day. This is clip 17.
Will anybody be able to police what Carlson says, or is this the point? It's just a free-for-all.
I think this is the point. It is a free-for-all. It's what Elon Musk wants to provide. This move by Tucker may cement the idea of Twitter as a right-wing website.
And notice the first guy says, who is going, if he's on Twitter, who is going to police him? This is why their heads exploded last night, the communists, because they couldn't police Donald Trump. They couldn't control the narrative. And so AOC, she's pulling her hair out. Joe Scarborough, he's catastrophizing things. He the virus of lies is spreading. They want to police the speech. They hate the fact that Tucker's video has been viewed by 25 million people. And how bittersweet it's going to be once they get the ratings. Here's CNN. They crush it in the ratings for one night. And at the same time, you're witnessing the death of CNN. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll look forward to seeing you again tomorrow.